This has been an unnerving and unforgettable week. The United States of America, the world's lone superpower, was attacked Tuesday morning. Four commercial airplanes were hijacked from three locations along the East Coast. The hijackers then deliberately crashed two of those planes into the twin towers of the World Trade Center in New York City and smashed great towers into rubble. Another commercial flight bashed into a wall at the Pentagon. Still another went down outside of Pittsburgh. Rescue efforts continue. At the same time, this is acknowledged mostly to be, at this point, a recovery effort. The estimate of the number of people who died in all of those locations is rising. It is now said to be nearing 5,000. President Bush has called these events an act of war. Dan Shore joins us, and in a little while, we want to invite you to, we want to take your calls right now and have Dan answer some of your questions at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Dan, thank you for being here.
Oh, I could have wished for better circumstances.
Yeah, but we couldn't have wished for anyone better, I must say, to try and sort through the significance of these events. I guess that phrase, an act of war, it's being taken for real at this particular point. There's no dispute.
It's being taken for real. It's meant for real. It's the first time that there's you speak of an act of war and a declaration of war without having a territorial enemy, but having an enemy that was like a wraith that hovers out there, and yet I'm sure they mean it. But on the other hand, let me say that on the ground, what you see mostly now is not an act of offensive war, but defense. You have a sense of fear. You have planes flying over cities. You have airports will close to the drop of a visa if somebody comes in. Now, this country is now going into a kind of a state of siege, and it's very defensive, and it's very, if the purpose of terrorism is to deprive you of any sense of safety, they've done quite well.
And we should, I guess, remind ourselves what an unprecedented event this is for any society, but America's always felt rather safe in the midst of two oceans.
That's exactly right. Here we are, we're flanked by two oceans, an enormous power, deciding whether or not we will support treaties or not support treaties, go into countries, not go into countries. We are number one, right? And suddenly when you are number one and find that being a superpower can sometimes render you superpowerless, that is very new for this country.
In the first hours following the explosions that brought down the World Trade Center and the wall at the Pentagon, the finger, if you please, was pointed. Oh my gosh, what a significance in that phrase, at Osama bin Laden.
Yes,
it was said knowledgeably that he was the only one who possessed that combination of money and will and resources to be able to bring about an attack like this. As the days have progressed, are you more convinced that that's the case?
Well, I remain convinced that Osama bin Laden plays a very important part in this. But as the days progress, one begins to realize that this is a conspiracy that goes far beyond any one man. Mm-hmm. We have to hear the phenomenon of the sleepers. We have people who have been infiltrated into our society, into Germany, into other countries, and told to settle down there and wait for the call. Mm-hmm. And then you find that there's a kind of a coordinating group and a second group and somebody at the top, and it may well be that some of these people who are told to go and get pilot training and settle down and go to the local bars and do whatever you want to do and act like Americans and all of that, over a period of a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, this thing has been long in the making, long in the conception, and then when they decided to go ahead now and show what they could do, This was Osama bin Laden, perhaps, but a lot more.
And that raises the question, what does that do to U.S. military strategy if the idea is to defeat this terrorist organization? Or do parts of the U.S. military wind up looking like the serried ranks of red-coated British and Hessian officers that fell in rows because they didn't accommodate themselves to a new form of war?
Well, as Colin Powell has pointed out, it really sets everything on its head. Colin Powell was accustomed in the Gulf War to saying, first you have to have overwhelming force, and second you have to know what you're doing, and then third you have to be able to get out, and you have none of that language applies anymore. The Pentagon was considering how to reorganize itself, or one and a half wars, regional wars, two wars, whatever, have missile defense, all of these, all of that is out the window. It really is a new era we live in now, where, and the enemy is of a sort that we could hardly have imagined before, and I think our thinking hasn't quite yet caught up with that.
The Bush administration had been known and even chastised for kind of going its own way in international affairs and perhaps consulting with other governments, but in the end not paying much heed to what their problems with U.S. policy were. What do you make of the chorus of amity at this particular point?
Well, the chorus of amity, of course, is to be expected. America does come together in time of a great catastrophe of this sort. But what is very interesting is the way in which our president has been propelled in a direction he never thought he would go. Mm-hmm. He was going to hang back and not get Americans involved, not risk Americans overseas and all the rest of it. Now he has the leadership in a war against terrorism. What that means is that there is now a benchmark that's been created. Are you for us or against us? Are you helping enough or are you not helping enough? Big pressures on Pakistan, which has its own problems because the Taliban is very strong in Pakistan itself. We're talking to Syria, which has been a supporter of terrorism in new terms. Mm-hmm. And from now on, America takes the lead in some kind of a new coalition yet to be created and yet to be formed. And that coalition is based on, we fight terrorism. Are you with us? And if you're not, you may be against us and you may suffer. New world.
Yeah. What do you make of the first hours following the terrorist attacks when President Bush was flown to a couple of different locations in Air Force One, I guess both in Air Force bases in Louisiana and Nebraska? Was there an ingredient of leadership, perhaps through no fault of his own?
The ingredient of Secret Service, which was allowed to sort of do what it's supposed to do, which is protect the president. Mm-hmm. It's only the president who can say, I don't work for the Secret Service. The Secret Service works for me. Mm-hmm. And after a few hours, began to realize that his function was to get on the air and talk to America and try to bring America together. Since that time, he's done quite well. I thought that yesterday his speech at the National Cathedral was fitting and appropriate. Mm-hmm. I thought he did very well going to New York and mixing it up with the workers there. And his approval rating now, according to a post-ABC poll, is 86%, which is pretty good. So he is doing well. I think America accepts him now as a leader. He is our leader. They may have had their problems about him before. Congress is told they would ask for $20 billion, says take $40 billion. You want a resolution supporting the appropriate use of force, you got it, and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. All of that is in an almost unprecedented display of American unity for how long, we have to see.
I think the public approval rating for the Fire Department of New York would be 99.9%.
Or over 100.
Over 100, 150%. And all of the genuinely brave people that have touched the nation this week.
And that is another thing that's been very striking this week. You know, one would have expected anger, fury. Mm-hmm. We want retribution. We want you to get hit them, so on and so forth. But there's another side to America that has emerged, a community spirit. People coming and saying, you want blood, let me give you blood. You want my work, let me give you my work. I have seldom seen America display its sense of community in the way that it has in the past week.